Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for allowing us into your cars, into your homes, and, well, onto your computers, onto your phones. I'm sure there's a rhyme in there somewhere. Maybe. I don't know. Thank you, folks, for tuning in tonight. We've got just a tremendous program for you tonight. First hour, I'm going to be going over some important news items in this segment. Things that are simmering underneath the headlines or hidden behind the headlines by the mainstream news, kind of getting drowned out by the white noise of the mainstream media. Things that we need to be paying attention to. Hours, 2 and 3. We're going to be joined by Mike Zullo, lead investigator for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and Carl Gallops. Those folks, you know, anyone paying attention knows that Sheriff Joe Arpaio had a news conference yesterday where Mike Zullo was the lead investigator, as lead investigator for the Cold Case Posse, had spent about an hour proving 9 points of forgery on the document known as the Certificate of Live Birth for Barack Hussein Obama II. I spoke with Mike Zullo today, a dedicated man, a true patriot in my view, and one unmatched and unparalleled in investigative resources, or ability, I should say, and resources to some extent. The resources, of course, come with the territory, but his investigative prowess is indeed tremendous. He spent five years looking into the Obama certificate of live birth. Not the eligibility part, just the document that was presented by the White House. All right, a very important distinction. And he's going to be talking about that in the next two segments. Folks, we're broadcasting on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. And I want to thank Todd and the Global Star Radio Network for all that they do. Of course, hosting programs like Dr. Ted Brewer, Ted and Austin Brewer's show, Russ Dizdar, Dave Hodges, and so many others do a great job. And, of course, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio as well, BTR. And, of course, right here on YouTube Live, our websites, Hagmann and Hagmann.com. Go there for the show itself. There you can pick up the show and you can tune right into the show or pick your venue. And HagmannReport.com. I really want to give a shout out to everyone reporting on HagmannReport.com. And if you, folks, if you haven't visited HagmannReport.com, I would ask you to do so, because we are assembling a group, I believe, of the finest investigative journalists in the world. And I mean in the world. For example, Tara from Reality Calls has written an article. She's on there. Sergeant Tim is on there. Others will be on there as well. I don't mean to omit anyone. We're going to hit just about everyone on there right now. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry wrote an article that's on there right now. So we are assembling a group of writers, of investigative journalists, investigators, and investigative journalists who are compiling or providing information that you're not going to find elsewhere. And I'm just so proud to have that to offer everyone. And it's the brainchild of both JD and John Robertson. John is really, John's part of the Hagmann family, part of the Hagmann team right now. And I just want to welcome him formally to the family as well. John has offered so much, done so much for so little. He's really done a great job, and I extend my thanks to him, my personal thanks, as well as JD and everyone, Eric the Tech, who's just Eric the Tech comes in. He surprises me sometimes. He comes in and I see him, I catch him working on files and doing things and graphics. And a lot of the flashy stuff on YouTube, all of the flashy stuff on YouTube is a result of Eric's efforts. And I just want to say thank you publicly to Eric for all he does. He does more than we could possibly pay him. So, to say thank you. And of course, my daughter Jackie, who's come on board officially as well. And the reason we're doing this is because we understand that the fight is just beginning. It's not over. You know, so many people, and I've gotten so many emails, and I read them all, even the ones that in the subject line, you know, I can't even repeat what it says in the subject line, but I read them all. And I believe that we're making a difference. I hope you think we are too. And when I say we're making a difference, we're actually getting the word out there. We're actually getting the real news out there and fighting. See, our fight is multi-level. And I understand. I should stipulate. Yes, we have a fight in the spiritual. Yes, the fight is in the spiritual. That should be stipulated, acknowledged. However, in the physical here, we have a fight. And it's at the physical level. And we call upon through prayer and invocation God's assistance to fight here in the physical. Of course, we have to acknowledge that. But the fight in the physical is getting so tremendously rough and tough. But we're growing, and we have to grow. It's either, I had a boss one time tell me that, you either grow or you shrink. I mean, there's no stasis. There's no static. You're either growing or you're not growing. I mean, you're getting smaller or you're getting less effective. And I think he's right. So it's our commitment to you to bring you the most cutting-edge information, the most important news that's out there. So I just want to welcome everyone. Also, tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com. In the search bar, put HH for your special. Yeah, I fooled Eric. Eric the Tech's over there. I specifically waited for him to walk away from his ship booth there, his Starship Enterprise. When I mentioned that, yeah, omahasteaks.com. If you haven't done so, you go to omahasteaks.com, put HH in the search bar. You'll see the special there for the Hagman Report listeners. Great stuff. And don't forget about Casper Mattress. I mentioned that again because I just had the sleep that you get from a Casper Mattress, the great sleep you get from a Casper Mattress. CasperMattress.com/CFP Radio. Coupon code CFP Radio. What a great Christmas gift that brings. And all of our sponsors, thank you so much. Let's get into some things here. As people file in, of course. If you go to HagmanReport.com, you'll see a number of stories there that are extremely important. If you scroll down, it's separated, of course. My section's on top there. And then there's the main news section. John had put up a couple of articles with respect to, Sergeant Tim, the senior editor of Outlaw Patriot News, about the supposed CIA claim of Russian interference in the U.S. elections and why it should be disregarded. That's an extremely important one, article or story that we're going to be getting into. And also the mystery of Russia's doomsday bomb by Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. That's a long but important read. And then, of course, we have Tara from Reality Calls. And she's such a sweet young lady and very intelligent, very articulate. I'm going to touch on that first. Yeah, she was on this week with us, just briefly, and she's going to be on with us, I believe, on the 29th, for a more extended stay. But, when she was talking about this reality calls, when no one wants to talk to the BBC. And she writes this, that someone from the BBC has contacted me repeatedly asking for people who would be willing to comment on Pizzagate for an article or for radio. And I've been contacted by a number of different news agencies, and it's a minefield out there. In fact, I think it was the BBC I referred. I'm fairly certain, and John Robertson knows the story behind this. I think I was contacted by the BBC, and I refused to do it. And I think I had sent the BBC to Tara. I'm sorry, but anyway. She writes this. She writes, here's the thing. I've asked a lot of people, and I've even considered myself, but I can't find anyone, including myself, who's willing to go on record with them. And then why? Why? Well, it might have something to do with the BBC's reputation for covering the elite. Pedophiles, covering four elite pedophiles. And she quotes this from the Independent, from the UK. Former BBC director David Nicholson told the Sun that a BBC boss had said, that's the way it is. And that's Jimmy. This is in reference to Jimmy Savile, of course. When, after he reported that Savile was having sex with a young girl in his dressing room. Can you imagine? That's the way it is. Just the way it is. In case you don't know, Savile, a man who was employed by the BBC, had been implicated in hundreds, and I suspect the real numbers in the thousands, of sexual abuse cases. Mostly with children, of course. Of course, that's what he was attracted to. And I remember a story where they couldn't cover this up. They were doing some remodeling in his studio in London, and they had peeled back, taken off a layer of wallpaper. They were doing some remodeling, and they peeled back the wallpaper, and written on the wall were at least 100 names in pen and pencil marker of victims' names. Now, this is a guy, Savile. Jimmy Savile was a guy who was knighted by the Queen, and by the way, just to give you a sense of his social status, it was big. It ran in elite circles. He routinely spent time with everyone from politicians to members of the royal family. We know that. And the BBC's history, by the way, of demonizing the people who support the anti-globalist movements of Brexit in the UK and Trump in the US, if that's not enough, if the covering of, for the elite pedophiles, if that's not enough, this is crazy. And now, more recently, demonizing the alternative media outright. And about the alternative media, isn't it interesting how we're seeing this convergence of events with respect to the alt media? The alt-right combined with the fake news, combined with post-truth. This is really what's important, in my view, in the news today. And I do suggest the alternative, instead of the alt-right, it should be alt-control-delete-left, all right? So, yeah, that's a reference for computers, I guess. Tara wrote, myself and others in the alternative media are in fear of being shut down as a result of the narrative, this particular narrative that they're spreading, that we're dangerous and scrubbed from the internet, 1984 style. It's a very real possibility, and she notes that YouTube has already started. And this is something that we're seeing as well. The shares allowed, whether it be social networking or on YouTube, or regardless of the venue, that the shares are being prohibited. Something we have to keep our eye on and understand that this is not business as usual anymore. And Tara continues writing that it seems fairly clear from these actions, their loyalties lie with the elite globalist pedophiles, and they do. So, in essence, they are part of what we're trying to expose, and it seems extraordinarily unlikely that they'll give us a fair shake on their program or publication. And this is true. We've seen this happen before, where, and I had, this is back probably 10 years ago now, and I don't really recall, it was about 10 years ago. the equivalent of 60 Minutes up in Canada. This was aired on the CBC. There was a producer that wanted to do an expose on our network at that time, Northeast Intelligence Network. And I remember this producer was traveling from someplace in the south on the way back to Toronto, on his way back to Toronto, and he stopped at the studio, and again, 10 years ago, in my office, and he spent, I think he arrived there like at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I finally asked him to leave. It was late afternoon. By that time, I was tired, and you know, my retinas were fried from the lights, and I think there was probably 6 hours of tape that he took. And I had said, I think I had made only two or three different statements about we were in the midst of a religious war, in reference to the Muslims, of course, and the Christians. I said, this is a religious war, and we are fighting this, we should be fighting this as a religious war. I said that maybe twice, maybe three times. Well, when it aired, I think 2-3 weeks later, that statement, that was about the only thing that was really driven home. There was maybe 10 minutes of B-roll footage that appeared. But when I said that, that was like showcased, and, you know, cue the echo. Anyway, so I got a lot, and I mean a lot, of hate mail from that, talking about Christianity being under assault in that context. And the CBC had really, in my view, had done me a disservice, because they skewed my whole intent. Although I wasn't backing down from what I was saying, they skewed the intent, my intent, or the nature of that statement. So Tara, you know, Tara said, "Nah, I don't think so. Attempted infringements upon our freedom of press and freedom of speech seem imminent. Don't believe the narratives they push, and don't allow our rights to be curtailed." Good advice, Tara. Absolutely. And Tara from Reality Calls speaks the truth. So it's great stuff there. Now, there's also another issue. Speaking about the curtailment of free speech and such, I don't know if you've seen this, but Facebook is going to use Snopes and other fact-checkers to combat and bury fake news. This was reported on a number of different sites, including Investors, I think it was IBT, perhaps. I'm not entirely certain. I think it was IBT that reported this, but Zuckerberg came out with a statement on Facebook. He writes this. This appeared this week. He said, "A few weeks ago, I launched some projects we're working on to build a more informed community and fight misinformation. Today, I want to share an update on the work we're starting to roll out. We have a responsibility to make sure Facebook has the greatest positive impact on the world." Okay. "This update is just one of the many steps forward, and there will be more work beyond this." And he goes on, "Facebook is a new kind of platform, different from anything else before it," and so on. Well, Facebook is going to start what they call fact-checking, labeling, and burying fake news and hoaxes in its news feed. This, according to Zuckerberg himself. And this was reported yesterday, but it bears repeating. I think it's important to understand. And he writes that this decision comes after Facebook received heated criticism for its role in spreading this deluge of political misinformation during the U.S. presidential election, like one story that falsely said the Pope had endorsed Donald Trump. All right. Well, it seems to me that would be like a B story anyway, but that's regardless. And Zuckerberg and Facebook has taken the position that to combat fake news, that Facebook has teamed up with a short list of media organizations. And this is where it gets interesting, because these media organizations, you have to take a look. Number one, are they truly media organizations? Who funds them? What's going on? Who operates them? Who makes the decisions? One of these media organizations, of course, is Snopes. All right? you know, Snopes. They were at one time good, perhaps, for identifying obvious Nigerian scams and computer hoaxes on the internet. I'll give them that. But for political information, their stuff is very subjective, it's arbitrary, and it's politically biased, obviously politically biased toward the left, toward the progressives. But they also have ABC listed here, and others. All right. Starting as a test, he writes, with small, according to this article, with a small percentage of its users in the U.S., Facebook will make it easier to report news stories that are fake or misleading. And I don't know whether you have seen this, but there's a new label, for example, when in the news feed on Facebook, and I'm not really 100% on social networking. I don't spend my time buried in the internet. I don't spend my time on Facebook or social networking. I have a life. All right, I lead a life, so I don't get into a lot of this junk that they peddle, and I don't put any personal information on Facebook. I think it's just a waste of time. Now, I'm not saying if you do it's bad. I'm just saying, to me, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have time for that. But it's interesting because there is a triangle with an exclamation point sign in there that you can put in there, disputed by third party fact checkers. For example, if there's a news headline with a URL attached to that, will be this exclamation point, disputed by third party fact checkers. So the arbitrary nature, the censorship of these social networking feeds has already begun. And we've experienced this as well. But going back to this particular, or Zuckerberg's comments and Facebook comments, they stated that they focused their efforts on the worst of the worst, meaning on the clear hoaxes spread by spammers for their own gain and on engaging both our community and third-party organizations. Now, that according to the Facebook news feed chief. I personally can't imagine really finding much newsworthy information within Facebook. I don't think I would go there first for news, but I guess people do go there for and check the news feed. And it's interesting that Facebook users, and I saw this, and I'm getting into now how this is all going to play out, but Facebook users are going to be able to report stories that they think are fake news. For example, and I didn't have the graphics done for this tonight, and I'm sorry about that, but there's a, when you choose, for example, or when you select a story that you want to say, hey, this is fake news, you have to choose a reason. For example, it's annoying or not interesting. It's pretty subjective and arbitrary. I think it shouldn't be on Facebook. It's spam. And then, of course, lastly, it's a fake news story. And these are contained after each statement. There's a radio button you can fill in. So obviously, we're dealing with situation where it says it's a fake news story. And then, what would you like to do? Would be the second when you choose a reason, and if you choose it's a fake news story, number two is what would you like to do? And they write here are some things you can do to resolve this. The first one is mark this post as fake news, and then you've got that red triangle with the exclamation point in it. Then message the individual that posted the news story stating that that you think that the article that individual posted is fake. And then the third thing, of course, is block that person. Now, normal people, I suspect, would just block that person, but if you want to censor, I believe, and this is the way that this is going, you, of course, mark this post as fake news. And the websites that Facebook determines to be fake news organizations or even spoof domains will also not be able to sell their ads on the social network. Now, we don't sell ads on the social network, but many people make a living that way to support their research, and I understand that. Much like we do, for example, with the YouTube ads. And I know it's annoying. I believe me, I know it's annoying. But the monetization, despite the fact that we are a listener-supported show, the monetization does offset the cost of some of the operations, as annoying as it might be. But there are people out there, and especially independent researchers, who monetize their research product, post it on YouTube, and monetize it through the ad revenue and offset the cost. Some people, and it's reported that one guy was making, $6 million a year. Some gaming guy, some gaming kid, that's an extreme. Or whatever it was, $10 million. It was just a huge amount of money. But the fact of the matter is, the researchers who are just attempting to get by, of course, rely on this revenue. And of course, this is how they're going to go after, and are going after, the citizen journalists and the independent journalists. They're cutting off any potential for revenue. And this kind of brings us into a different topic, which we're going to hit after the break. Doug Hagman, Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. I just can't wait until we talk with Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops. That'll come next hour. More news, information, and analysis on the other side. And folks, by the way, if you don't think it matters, for example, if you wonder why this certificate of live birth, the forgery, if you don't think it matters, it does matter. You're going to find out why with Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops. Again, Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. Don't forget, folks, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Folks, Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. That's our website. And of course, please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It does raise our visibility. And I've been working on a couple of articles, a couple of reports, specifically, ladies and gentlemen, about Pizzagate, which, again, I'm not a fan of that name. I'm not, I really don't care for that name very much, because it's much broader than that. It's got the different elements built into that, but those reports are going to be coming this weekend. Just check HagmanReport.com. And that's one of the issues, and I'll be talking with Russ Dizdar as well on his take on a few things, his evaluation and analysis. And if you don't know who Russ Dizdar is, shatterthedarkness.net. I would recommend everyone visit that website. And, you know, it's kind of funny because Eric and I were talking earlier in the studio. We were having a meeting, and, you know, had I known, when I finished my book, Stained by Blood, when I finished that, it was late last year, I think it was, and it was published in March. That's when the first printing was. Had I known back in 1987 what I know now, I was introduced to spirit cooking back in 1987 in my book Stained by Blood, and you can get it on amazon.com. just search for Stained by Blood. You can get it in the Kindle edition paperback edition. But I was amazed. I picked the book up today again just to read what I had since forgotten about, and it was an interesting walk back in my mind. When you look at something, for example, my experience, my introduction into what was now known as spirit cooking, I had no idea. I was clueless back then what I was getting into. And my book involves the investigation, of course, of the brutal murder of my uncle. And there, I fell into a parallel investigation, or conducted a parallel investigation that had nothing really to do with the murder, except that some of the people kind of overlapped into the suspect pool. Well, anyway, to look back now and see the relevance of what I experienced and what I witnessed was eye-opening. So I just wanted to mention that. Before we get further down the road, just imagine something. Christmas Eve, the house, the fireplace going, the stockings hung, and you're getting ready for supper. And can you smell the steak cooking? Can you smell it? Oh, yeah. It smells like a steakhouse. I've got something for you. Or maybe if you're looking for that perfect gift, folks, go to omahasteaks.com. As soon as you do, in the search bar, put HH in the search bar. Whether this is for yourself for a great Christmas Eve dinner, maybe for a Sunday dinner with your family, or as a gift, omahasteaks.com and HH in the search bar, they will please the most discriminating palate. They've got this wonderful package they put together. If you're looking for the perfect gift, I would choose the family gift pack. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter HH in the search bar, you can get the family gift pack for $49.99. That represents a savings of 77%. Folks, this package was originally over $200, but for the listeners of this broadcast, using HH in the search bar at omahasteaks.com, here's what you can get. You can get two filet mignons and two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, which brings out the flavor of the meat, and it's just like the steakhouse style steak. Plus, you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages free with this package. So go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code HH in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit. omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. And I do that today. Oh, man. Smell it? Wow, I do. But it's interesting as we look back and see, when I look back and see what is taking place with Pizzagate. And that story, by the way, is not fake news. It is bigger than, and we have to look bigger at that. And Tara talked about Jimmy Savile, too, for example, over in the UK. But what this story involves, since I'm talking about this now, what this story involves, and Andrew Kerr had appeared on our program and was talking about Media Matters for America, headed by David Brock. I want you to check out Andrew Kerr's work. This young man has done a tremendous job with the Forms 990. Well, when you look at Media Matters and you get into their financials, David Brock, of course, who happens to be was the significant other with Elefantis, the owner of the pizza shop in D.C. When you start getting into the financials and you start following the money, there are some serious questions that Andrew Kerr had brought up and has brought up that need answered. So, yeah, but see, this is why the mainstream media, in part, this is why the mainstream media has developed this fake news section. Oh, anything related to Pizzagate or anything related to any of this is fake news. And they want to censor it right now. The stuff that's going on with Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, and others, it's just a matter of time before we will be silenced in that on those venues. And that's why I'm thankful that we've got Global Star Radio Network, who won't be silenced, and other venues. And folks, by the way, I got a couple of emails this week saying, well, what happens when you are censored? I'd like to roll out what we will be doing when that happens, not if, but when that happens. I can't do that because that would be tipping our hand, but I guarantee you will know where to go. All right. That's my promise to you. But finishing with Facebook, Facebook will show a specific warning before someone shares a story that's been labeled as fake. and it's a big box. This is disputed by third parties, warning you that before you share this story, you might want to know that independent fact checkers disputed its accuracy. Just so you know. But see, the independent fact checkers like Snopes, it's a source, Snopes is a source funded, in part, source funded operation. It's only degrees of separation between Soros and Snopes. So you want to know who's controlling the information? Well, there it is. Now, I want to thank Kimberly, who wrote this. And I just got this right, as I was coming on the air. You may already be aware of this, but I want to mention this because it's very serious. I've been following Pastor Paul Begley, and he's been covering this second wave of energy that'll be here in just 10 days. Which she's talking about this warning from YouTubers that there will be a wave of energy hit on Christmas Day here in the U.S. December 25th. Or I'm sorry, let me back up here. He has had this gentleman Jesse from BP Earth Watch on at least four times, as well as Mike was on. Anyway, who predicted the first wave of energy Christmas Day 2004 when the huge earthquake and tsunami hit Indonesia. Just in case anyone is wondering, yes, there's supposedly some workings with the sun or some issues going on, gamma ray bursts and such, radiation hitting the earth. I don't know the science behind it, but I do know that there is something headed toward the earth. And, Paul Begley has been talking about it. We're aware of it. Kimberly, thank you so much. And it's topical. Look, I don't know what's going to happen with respect to that, to that particular issue. All right. Want to let you know too, the story about the Russian hacking, that's been like everywhere. For example, Russian hacking conspiracy theory. Well, that has since imploded. And I'm not sure how many people watched Sean Hannity. When was that? Last night or the night before? The days all run together when he interviewed Julian Assange. Well, and some people will say, okay, Assange, obviously, if Hannity interviewed him, Assange is alive and well. I do suspect that to be the case. I don't know that to be the case, but I do suspect that to be the case given the fact that some of the comments made do reflect a certain period of time, but cut off from the real world. My question is, and I think it's a reasonable question, is how, if Assange has been cut off, his internet access, for example, has been cut off, do you folks find it a little bit odd that he's able to go on a program like Sean Hannity's program? And talk while he has been basically cut off on the internet. There's something not right here with that. And I'm not sure what it is. But aside from that, when you look at the progressives, the Marxist-Leninists in power, the Pelosi's and both Pelosi's, Nancy Pelosi and her daughter, those people who are saying, my goodness, wait, the Russians have hacked our presidential system. Well, the left, their crusade against Republican presidential electors. Folks, you know, and I've been saying this, it's kicked into high gear, even as the CIA attributed story that Russian hackers won the White House for Donald Trump is going up in flames. Now, if you tuned in to any of the news prior to the election, and I downloaded these videos of Obama saying, quit whining, Donald. Telling Trump basically he's going to lose and it's not going to be the fault of the Russians and that our systems are impervious to foreign hacks. It's been out there. It's been documented. Of course, until Trump had won. Folks, there's no evidence. There is still no evidence, at least none that has been made public, that the Russian government or Russian-backed cyber intelligence militias or state actors, none whatsoever, that suggest that they hacked anything and certainly didn't hack anything that would have helped Trump win the election. But that's not stopping their efforts to delegitimize his presidency before it begins. And didn't I say this? And I was, this morning when I got to my office, I really wanted to go back and go back as far as I could, in my show notes to find it. Every time I said it's the objective of the left, of the Marxist progressives, to delegitimize or to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the elections. That's what this is all about. It's really, it's nothing less than that. They want to call into question the legitimacy of our elections. It, sure, there's a story there about the recount, but that's not the big story. There's a story there about the members of the Electoral Congress. That's not the story. The hassle, and I get emails saying, oh my goodness, why are you even covering it? It's not going to make any difference. Look, I understand that. That's not the story. The story is the fact that they, the left, the Marxist, progressive, the globalist elite, they've got a death grip on the power, and they want to hang on to this power. They don't want to give it up via Obama. They want to hang on to this. And they're doing everything in their power to delegitimize the Trump victory. And you know, folks, I'm still a little bit concerned because we have some time to go. What, less than, well, 3 days, Monday, the Electoral College is going to meet and vote. I'm kind of watching that. I don't think it's going to change anything. The faithless electors, as they're called, and some want to class it up by calling them Hamilton or Hamiltonian electors, I don't think it's going to change anything. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist or we shouldn't cover it. I think we should, and very specifically, with respect to that, we have to understand. I truly believe this. When you look at the emails, and I've talked to 4 out of the 538 members of the Electoral College. One in Texas, others in New York and Pennsylvania. And yes, the emails, some of them, and most, and the 4 I spoke to, disregard the emails completely. But that doesn't make the content or their origins. The content of the emails in some cases are quite significantly threatening. I'm going to pull, or you should, why don't you put a bullet in your head, for example? I heard one on the news, I can't remember who it was, stating something very similar. But the fact is this. The members of the Electoral College are being contacted through mail, email, some phone calls, some postal mail, and being harassed. Now, obviously, the threats via postal mail, not as bad. But we have to keep our eyes on what's taking place. Again, I don't think it's going to change anything. But understand that this is a global effort. Why, for example, would somebody in Australia care about our elections? Why would somebody in Australia or the UK or Germany send a member of the Electoral College here in the United States an email saying don't vote for Trump? Well, when you start looking, when you open up the headers, and this is something that I haven't shared before, but when you get, for example, computer forensics, if you, well, I'm not going to bore you with the technical aspects of this, but when you look at the verbose headers, when you take an email and you open up the coding, the verbose headers they're called, and you look at the coding, their handshakes, for example, every hop that that email takes, it's an electronic handshake, and it could fill a page sometimes. And when you read from the bottom up, from right to left, and you look at the handshakes, the electronic handshakes, some of those come from the same blocks, same ISP blocks, many of those, as a matter of fact. And when you look at the ownership of the ISP blocks, or the IP blocks, you look at the IP blocks, you can tell they're all coming from the same computer, basically. And when you look up the IP ownership, when you strip the headers and get down to the real nitty gritty of the information and look at the IP, at the verbose headers and the ownership of the IP, and match one, I've got, I don't know, five, six dozen emails that were sent to me as attachments that allowed me to open, expose the headers, and then follow the electronic handshakes. And I found similarities. Well, I found that a large portion in one case came from one, shall I say, one computer. That's my assumption or my reasoned speculation based on my investigation. That traces back, in the case that I was looking at, traces back to, suggestively, a Clinton-associated, someone associated with the Clinton Foundation. Now, think about that for a second. Clinton, who has been silent, virtually silent, is still operational in the background. And the computer forensics, and anyone can do this. If you've got an elector who's got emails that they want to send me, send them to me as an attachment. Let me know, especially if you're going to send me a huge amount. And I will look at the verbose headers, and I'll match them up to the ones I've already have, and then write a report on this where you can see where these emails all come from a particular organization associated with the Clinton Foundation and thus Hillary Clinton. Anyway, against that backdrop, folks, the members of the EC, the Electoral College, are preparing to gather Monday in the 50 states and, of course, District of Columbia to fulfill their constitutional duty. Adding to the drama, some electors are demanding intelligence briefings. Did you see this? On the alleged hacking before they vote. I've seen the numbers vary and swing up from, I think at first it was 9 and then it went up to a dozen and then 39 and so on. But Assange, when he appeared on Hannity, WikiLeaks, their site released thousands of purported emails from senior Democrats during the recent election campaign. They threw cold water on the Russian hacking conspiracy theory. Of course, this is also documented by Front Page magazine, written by Matthew Vadim. Good author, good investigative researcher, by the way. Now, Assange told Hannity yesterday that our source, and I'm quoting now, our source is not the Russian government. He also said that the information WikiLeaks had received had not come from a state party. Now, many speculate that there was an inside leak inside the DNC, and many have speculated, and I'm looking at the balancing the research on this and looking at the information. What would you think if Seth Rich was the leaker, perhaps, of some of this information? I don't believe all of it. Not in the least, but I believe some of it likely came from Seth Rich, and you know what happened to Seth Rich. Still an unsolved homicide in Washington, D.C. That's what happened to Seth Rich. But Assange came out and said, look, as far as the WikiLeaks connection to Russian hackers is concerned, Clapper came out. James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, told the House Intelligence Committee on November 17th that Assange basically might be right. According to Clapper, he said, as far as the WikiLeaks connection to Russian hackers, the evidence is just not there. It's not that strong. And we don't have good insight into the sequencing of the releases or when the data may have been provided. That, according to the director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, where this information supposedly, purportedly originated from. So they're lying to us. Big surprise, right? No surprise. But the fact is, and this goes to the article on HagmanReport.com by Sergeant Tim, why the CIA, or why the supposed CIA claim of Russian interference in the U.S. election should be disregarded. Got it right here. This is an article written by Sergeant Tim, who wrote, for most Americans, the intelligence community is this shadowy web of agencies intertwined together with seemingly no distinguishing factors between all of the various acronyms and names. Well, but he goes on, but the fact of the matter is, and he really dissects this nicely, and I would urge everyone to take the time to read this, because there's things called like signals intelligence and then imagery intelligence, and he gets into all of these acronyms, human intelligence and open source and intelligence and so on. But he gets deep into the analysis of this, and I'll just kind of quote their paraphrase from the paragraph toward the end of the article. He writes so what does the FBI, for example, say about the possibility of Russian hackers influencing the U.S. elections? He points to an article that goes into an FBI briefer before Congress and the response of the FBI to the claims that the Russians aided Trump in his bid for the White House. FBI investigations have not gained any evidence into the fact that Russia aided the Trump campaign or even attempted to influence the U.S. election. This is just a lie from hell, in my view. You talk about fake news, this could be right next to the phrase fake news in the media lexicon that the U.S. elections were hacked or the systems were hacked and Trump was aided by Russia. It's just not, there's no evidence there. And of course, Sergeant Tim Good does go in and explain all of the nuances of the various intelligence aspects. So it's worth a read and pass it along to your friends. Go to HagmanReport.com and under the heading, Why the Supposed CIA Claim of Russian Interference in U.S. Elections Should Be Disregarded. In fact, it should be disregarded indeed. And one more thing. We had Dr. Peter Pry on our program. Peter Vincent Pry. The Mystery of Russia's Doomsday Bomb. Now, this is an intense article on HagmanReport.com. If you are concerned about what's taking place with Iran, you should be. If you're concerned about the backroom dealings over Iran, you should be. But this gets into, in my view anyway, a lot more than, we'll say, the Iranian connection. This gets into, for example, Russia, what they're doing. And I'm not gonna get into it right now. We don't have the time. But I would urge everyone to look at this because this does contain some information I think many people might find a little bit disconcerting, disturbing, and it might put preparations in context of today. Because Dr. Peter Vincent Pry is an excellent writer and even better analyst. He's got the credentials, of course, to back up his statements. Extremely important article. Folks, we're going to be back. This next segment is going to knock your socks off. Who's in the White House? That's a question that's tangential to what we're going to be talking about. What we're going to be talking about is, more specifically, is what was put up on the White House website, whitehouse.gov. What kind of document was? Was it a real document, or was it one that was manufactured intentionally, deliberately put up there and manufactured? Gonna give you some information that's going to be equally disturbing to what we've already covered with our very special guests, Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo. Fresh off that press conference yesterday. Get right back. Stay right where you're at.